about this discourse. This maimer was said Shabbat Parshat Noach, the Sedra Noah, Noah and the Flood, in 1982. And it is not edited by the Rebbe. And it concerns the verses in the Torah, in the Sedra of the Week, Zot Ot HaBrit. This is the sign of the covenant. In other words, when God brought the flood, and then after the flood, he told Noah that he would not bring another flood on the world, and he's making a covenant with the world, with the inhabitants of the world, to that effect. And the sign of the covenant is the rainbow. And Zot Ot HaBrit, this is the sign of the covenant. Et kashti natati be'anan. I've put my rainbow in the cloud. Vahaita hakeshet be'anan. And the rainbow will be in the cloud. So the Rebbe says, Hine yeshno ma'amal psukim eile. There is a discourse on these verses, which has just recently been printed, and apparently it is by Rabbi Shneur Zalman. And the Rebbe discusses the whole question of whether it is, the discourse is by Rabbi Shneur Zalman or by his grandson, the third Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Tzemach Tzedek, who lived around 1850. And there's considerable discussion of that. There are two different manuscripts, and one is printed in one collection, the Discourses of Rabbi Shneur Zalman. The other one is printed in another collection, the Discourses of the Tzemach Tzedek. And the Rebbe is discussing exactly who is the author. Is it partly by one, partly by the other, or... the point being that the Rebbe made the comment at another time that by saying something in the name of its true author, there is a saying by the sages, if one says or teaches something in the name of its author, one brings redemption to the world. So the Rebbe very much wanted to identify exactly who was the author. Anyway, that discussion goes on page 5 down to line 23 on the first page. Now, whoever exactly the discourse is by, whether Rabbi Shneur Zalman or the Tzemach Tzedek or partly by each of them, he brings in this, on this verse about the rainbow being put in the cloud, he brings the discussion by the commentators. And in fact, in the manuscript of the Tzemach Tzedek, he gives a whole list of the commentators and each commentator what they say. So, for example, Nachmanides. Nachmanides Ramban, he says, does this mean that there were no rainbows before this situation, after the flood? According to Greek science, says Nachmanides, the rainbow is a natural phenomenon. The light is, to the effect that the light is refracted by the raindrops, whether in the cloud or in the rain, and therefore you see the rainbow. So the way that Nachmanides explains it is that there were rainbows previously, but they didn't have the significance. Now, after the flood, the God is saying the significance of the rainbow is that it will remind me of the covenant. So that's one answer among several. So that's the question which is raised in this discourse by Rabbi Shneur Zalman or the Tzemach Tzedek. What is the idea of the rainbow, this new concept? It's known that Hare Yadua Shakeshet Udava TV. It's known that a rainbow is a natural thing. Kusha Hashem is Zorachat, when the sun shines, now we're going on to page Vav. But Sadechad Me'arakir, when the sun shines from one side of the sky, ובצד שכנגדו יש עננים, and on the other side there are clouds. הנה על ידי זה נראים גווני הקשת בעננים. Through that one sees the colors of the rainbow in the cloud. So that's the question raised by various commentators on this passage. So now the Rebbe launches into a kind of a spiritual discussion of, first of all, the cloud. What does it mean, a cloud? What's the spiritual meaning of a cloud? So that's page Vav, line 3. Ve'yuvan ze b'haktin be'er inyan ha'anan. This will be understood by considering the concept of a cloud. Sh'alav ne'ma et kashti natati, about which it says that God is putting his rainbow in the cloud. Beruchniut, in spiritual terms. Dehine be'inyan ha'anan beruchniut yesh beit bechino. Concerning a cloud, spiritually, there are two aspects. Inyan ha'anan l'mal yuta, there's the cloud in positive terms, hamorel bechina nalet biyoter, which indicates something very spiritual, something very exalted. The chashe meyer gilui nalet biyoter, because when there shines, when there radiates a exalted revelation of the divine, she'ef shale kablo, which is impossible to receive as it is, it's too intense. For then one needs the cloud as a kind of a mask, as a veil. And through the cloud one is able to receive the radiance. As the verse says, a sun and a shield are, and then he uses two names of God, Yudke Vavke, the Tetragrammaton, and Elohim. The Hashem She'ev Shalis Takel B'Shemesh, just as it's impossible to look directly at the sun, Eila Al Yedei Magen, one needs a sheath of some kind, a veil, sunglasses, thick sunglasses, in order to look at the sun. Kach Yev Shal Kabelet HaGilui, so it's impossible to receive the revelation, the Shemesh Havaya, of the sun relating to the Tetragrammaton, ki im al yedei amagen v'natek, unless through the shield, the veil, the Shem Elohim, of the other name of God, Elohim. The name Yudke Vavke is like the bright sun, and the name Elohim is like the veil, the sunglasses covering the sun, hiding the sun so that we're able to look at it. V'lachein le'atid lavo, and therefore in the future, kasher HaKadosh Baruch Hu yotzir chama min nakit teka, that then God will take the sun out of its sheath, and the sort of the naked sun, the brightness of Yudke Vavke, will shine very bright. Because normally, that's only possible in the time to come. Whereas up to then, ki tzarich lenatek the Shem Elohim, we need to have the sheath of the name Elohim. So here we have the idea that a cloud has a positive function in hiding the radiance of the divine, or letting through some of the radiance and hiding it so that it is not too intense for us to receive that radiance. V'zeo, line 16. V'zeo inyane ananda matan Torah. Now this positive kind of cloud, which is a sort of a means by which we can take the intense radiance, that is also the cloud of the giving of the Torah. Dichtiv, where it's written, v'yavo Moshe v'toche anan. Moses came in the midst of the cloud. D'liot shagiluy de matan Torah. Since the revelation of the giving of the Torah, haya gilui na'ale biyoter, was a very exalted kind of revelation. Lachain, therefore, kedei lekabel et hagilui hazeh, in order to receive this revelation, hutzlach lalvush de'anan, it was needed the garment of the cloud. Even Moshe, Moses, needed the garment of the cloud. Ad shebchinat anan, so much so that the quality of the cloud, shorsha, its root, למעלה גם is higher even מהגילוי דבחינת ישת חושך סיתכו. There's the idea of the concept, the exalted concept that he makes darkness his hiding place. God makes darkness his hiding place. And that's a very exalted level. And here it's saying that the root of the cloud which hides the revelation of the divine sufficiently so that the divine can be revealed to us, the source of that cloud is very exalted. So we had the cloud at the time of the giving of the Torah, and now in line 21 we go to another kind of cloud on page Vav, page 6, line 21. V'zeu gam ken inyan anan haktoret de Yom HaKippurim. That's also the cloud of incense on Yom Kippur. Now the high priest goes into the Holy of Holies with a pan of coals and a handful of incense, and he puts the incense on the coals, and there's a beautiful cloud of incense. Now that cloud is a very exalted thing. That cloud, haba al yedei avodat hatshuva, that cloud is the product of repentance. Shu'enan lemalyuta bedaga achinalit shebo, that is the most exalted kind of cloud. When we're talking about the cloud in a positive way, that's the most exalted kind, because it comes from tshuva, from repentance. And that is Bechinat Yashet Choshech Sitro, that God makes darkness his hiding place. So all that is about the cloud in a positive way. Line 24. But there's also V'yesh Bechinat Anan Negereuta. There's also the cloud in a negative way. Hamoreh Al Inyan HaYerida B'yoteh, which indicates a very extraordinary descent down. Because of the downchaining of worlds going further and further down, v'hamasachim, and the veils, v'hapasaot, and the barriers, v'ad li'inyan ha'shvira, till we come to the concept of the breaking of the vessels, this Kabbalistic concept of this cataclysm, spiritual cataclysm, the breaking of the vessels, the radiance entering the svirot was too intense and the vessels broke. And that is like a stage in the coming into being of the physical world where God is completely hidden in normal terms, unless one contemplates about it, or there are certain miraculous or other special incidents where one sees the revelation of the divine. So in normal terms, it's a realm of concealment. And so therefore, because there's down, this down chaining of worlds, hineme anandik dusha, from the sacred cloud, that was a positive cloud that we spoke about before, nishtal shel, their chains downwards, mikuf kaf tzerufim deshem elekim, through the 120 combinations of the name Elohim. The name Elohim is the shield, as it were, the veil which hides this radiance. And that shield, the name Elohim, has got five letters. And the Elohim is one combination of those letters. Now you could have it spelt backwards, Mem Yud Hey Lamed Aleph, for example. Or it could have another combination. Now, in fact, according to mathematics, the number of combinations of five different letters is 5 times 4 times 3 times 2. That's called 5 factorial, and that is 120. So the Kabbalah and Hasidic teachings talk about the 120 combinations of the name Elohim, which function as veils on lower and lower levels, more and more intense veils. And that is, it comes to Bechinat and Anan, it comes to be a kind of cloud, Shuhelim Behesel Gamrei, which is a complete concealment. So quite unlike the cloud, which was a revelatory cloud, that the whole point of the cloud, the first kind of cloud, the positive cloud, the point of the cloud is that it should conceal enough of the revelation so that we can look at the revelation and receive the revelation. But the second kind of cloud, the negative sense, is the cloud which completely conceals. Umitam zem, because of this, Dimu avonot upshaim lananim. The prophets compared sins and transgressions to clouds. And there's a verse, Kemoshe Katuv, there's a verse about this. Machiti cha'av psha'echa. This is where God is telling us something very positive, that he's wiping away the cloud. I am wiping away your sins like a cloud. Uche'anan chatotecha. And also, it's repeating the same concept, basically, that God wipes away our sins like a cloud. In other words, sins are like a cloud. Ki anan zehu masach mabdil. Because this kind of cloud is a barrier which separates us from the divine. Kumo shekatov, as we see in another verse, avonoteichem hayu mabdilim. Your sins were separating you from God. V'chambavor ba'arucha b'tanya is explained extensively in Tanya, in Igeret HaTshuva, the section of Tanya which talks about repentance, the whole idea of this, in Yan Bazeh. So there we have the concept of the cloud, which is something very positive, which is a way of revealing God, and then there's the cloud, which is something negative, which hides God. V'hineh, and behold, k'shem sheyesh shtei b'chinot elu. Just as there are these two aspects. Just as we have these two aspects in the spiritual cloud. B'chinat he'anan she'inyano ha'gilui. The cloud which represents revelation. U'b'chinat he'anan she'inyano, and the other kind of cloud, which is b'shvil lahastir u'lahalim legamrei, the effect of which is to completely conceal. Lachein hu gam be'anan gashmi. Also in the physical cloud, sheyesh bo shnei ofanim. When we come from this spiritual, these two spiritual possibilities, and we now consider the actual physical cloud in the sky, we've also got two possibilities. The yeshnam ananim kalim. There are some light clouds. Sha'al yadam efshar listakel. That through these clouds, we are able to look v'le'anot and to enjoy ma'ashemesh, the sun, al kol panim l'rega, at least for a few moments. You can look at the sun through the cloud and you can see the warmth, the brightness of the sun. You can't stare at it, but it's a light cloud covering the sun, but it's very light and you can see the sun through it. V'yesh ananim hamachshichim legamrei, and there are clouds which make it completely dark, which hide the sun completely. The alze amru rabbeinu zal, and that is what our sages said, kamuvah b'maimah, as is quoted in this discourse. Kashe yomad eva ke yomad dina. A cloudy day, a thick cloudy day, is as difficult as a day of judgment. Sheheim b'vchinat din, because those heavy, thick clouds which hide the sun completely, they are a quality of justice, judgment. Rachmana litzlan, heaven protect us. Ubaze yuvan, and from this we can understand the idea. Inyan hakeshet, the idea of the rainbow, shenit chadesh acha mabul dafka, the idea of the rainbow that is new after the flood. What is the aspect of the rainbow which is new after the flood? Dilifnei mabul, because before the flood, hayah olam bilti mezukach, the world was impure, it was not purified. V'lechein hayu ananim be'ofen, and therefore the clouds were in such a way, she'ein or ha'shemesh yachol lachdor otam. The light of the sun could not pierce the clouds. Kedei she'yiru oto al yadam, in such a way that the sun could be seen through the clouds. The only kind of clouds they had were thick clouds which completely hid the sun. And if you've only got very thick clouds, then it was impossible to have the colors of the rainbow. Whereas after the Mabul, it was a different situation after the flood. Now the key point of the flood is 40 days of raining. The flood took a year. But the most intense aspect of the flood were 40 days of the waters of the deep flowing up and the waters of the heavens flowing down. That was a 40-day process. Now that 40 days relates to the 40 measures of water which goes into a mikveh, into a purifying pool. And it's as if the world was being put through a purifying process in this flood. And so therefore, through the flood, having been in the flood, Sha'al Yadon Nizdakecha Olam, the world became more pure. And since the world was more pure, Nasuha Ananim Kalim Yoter, the clouds became lighter clouds. And once the clouds were lighter clouds, Ba'ofen Sha'or HaShemesh, in such a way that now the light of the sun, Yachol Liyot Nireh Al Yadam, would be able to be seen through the clouds, refracting the light, Begavnea Keshet, with the different colors of the rainbow. Okay, now this is a very striking, very interesting answer to the question that Nachmanides mentioned, and which many other commentators discuss. It's not that the rainbow is new, it's that the cloud formations are new. So before the flood, the cloud formations were very thick cloud formations. There's probably words for that, which I don't know, technical words. There are all kinds of words describing clouds, cumulus, stuff like that. I'm afraid I don't know the terminology. So before the flood, the cloud formations were thick cloud formations hiding the sun. And after the flood, the world was more purified, and you could have thin cloud formations which the sun could be seen through, and at certain times when the angle was right, not only would we see the sun, we would see the colors of the rainbow in the cloud. All right, so and that reflects the spiritual situation of the world. Vehine now, line 23 on this page. Vehine ha'ananazeh, now this cloud, shehu b'shvil ha'gilui, this better kind of cloud, which is for the sake of revelation, more gam ken al inyan ha'tshuva, also indicates the nature of repentance. Al derech ha'nan ha'ktoret de yom ha'kippurim, like the cloud of incense on Yom Kippur, Haba al yedei atshuva de Yom Kippurim, which comes through the repentance on Yom Kippur. So because of the repentance on Yom Kippur, the actual people repenting, because of that, there's the cloud. Va'inyan hu, and what that means is, the kashem she'anan bepashtut, that considering the cloud in itself, Ktiv Bey, it says about that, and here we have another example of the cloud, which is in Sedra Bereshit, last week's Sedra, the Eid Ya'alem in Haaretz, a mist rose from the earth, Vihishka, and it watered the garden, She'anan, that the cloud, the Eid, the mist, Ba min Haaretz, comes from the earth, that's the same thing with the spiritual cloud, which indicates the service of people below, avodat ha-tshuva, the service of repentance. That just as at the beginning of creation, the Torah speaks of a cloud coming up, a mist coming up from the ground, so too is there the cloud which forms from us on the lower level of human beings, there is the movement of repentance which brings about the cloud in the Holy of Holies. V'chiyadua, and it's known, sheyesh gimel avirim ben ha-shemesh la'aretz, there are three regions between the sun and the earth. Da'avia karov l'shemesh, the region that's close to the sun, u'betokef hachamimut, is extremely hot. Va'avir shebe'emtza, and the region in the middle, what we would call space in between the earth and the sun, hu betokef hakchirut, is very cold. Va'avir tachton akarov la'aretz, and in the air, in the region, with the lower region, which is close to the earth, there mitpashet o hashemesh gam kein betokef yoter, the sunlight shines strongly, machmat she'enu yachol litpashet yoter, because it's not able to spread out, v'hu chozer min ha'aretz, and it comes back from the ground. The sun shines on the ground and shines back. Ahaynu bechinat or chozer, which is called the light which returns, shezeu inyan avodat ha'tshuva, and that light which returns, that reflected light, that is repentance. So that is the light of repentance. Now, vehine, line 5. Now, behold, al yedei avodat ha'tshuva shebevchinat or chozer, through the service of repentance, through this reflected light, in other words, the light shining down from the sun onto the world and then being reflected up, naset achakach ha'keshet sheyesh ba'gimu gavanim, there comes the rainbow which has got 3 colors. Now, we usually think of the rainbow as having 7 colors, but the Zohar speaks about it, although the Zohar often speaks about colors, it speaks about the rainbow as having 3 colors. So I suppose what we see as 7 colors, some of them are grouped together, and it's in 3 groups. Ba'inyanhu. So this means as follows. D'inei avodat ha'tshuva tzricha liyot b'chol ha'gimul kavim. The service of repentance has to be with all the 3 lines of chesed, of kindness, of din, of justice, and of rachamim, and of mercy. As it adds in the discourse, the manuscript which the Rebbe is quoting, b'chinat rachamim rabim. So there's great mercy. So there's kindness, so justice or severity, and great mercy. Val yedei tshuva lemata, and through repenting below, begimu bechinot elu, in these 3 ways, repenting in a way of kindness, in a way of severity, in a way of great mercy, that through that mamshichim elamayla, we draw down from above et hakeshet, the rainbow, im gimel hagvanin sheba, with its 3 main colors, chesed din and rachamim rabim, kindness and judgment, and rachamim rabim, and great mercy. It's just occurred to me that I think you can make all the colors of the rainbow if you have the 3 primary colors, which I believe are yellow, blue, and red. With yellow, blue, and red, you can make any of the other colors. Like green is blue plus yellow. And violet is a mixture of red and a bit of blue or something like that. So the 3 primary colors. So it's interesting that this idea of the rainbow from the Zohar, that the rainbow has only 3 colors, it's like those are the 3 primary colors. And from the 3 primary colors, you can get all the other colors. And these 3 primary colors are kindness, severity, and great mercy. Now, great mercy comes from a higher level. You see, kindness is the right, severity is the left, or din, justice, and great mercy comes from a higher level beyond both justice and kindness. So that is the effect, that's how we do tshuva, that's how we repent. Through expressing those 3 aspects, shal yedei zeh, by means of this, mevatlin et gimel hakavim de'lumat zeh, we nullify the 3 lines of the realm of the klipot, the realm of impurity, where there's also a kind of opposite complementary structure, which is opposite, which is negative. But often the machiti ka'av, and this happens in such a way, like that phrase from the prophets, that God says, I've wiped away like a cloud your sins. Mechiya Gemura, complete wiping away, or Be'ofen Shel Zikuch, in such a way that everything has been purified. All right, is that some... Would anyone like to comment?
Tani, one thing, there's a few things, but one thing in the beginning.
Yeah.
When you were saying that Moshe went up the mountain in a cloud.
Right.
To receive the Aseret Dibros to shield him from the brilliance of Hashem.
I think it happened twice. It's before the Aseret Dibros and also at the end. He goes up into the cloud for 40 days.
Yeah, but the thing is, they said Moshe Rabbeinu was the only one who could see Hashem face to face. How does that fit in?
So in other words, even he needed the cloud. He couldn't see Hashem. Hashem spoke to him face to face, but when Moshe asked to see Hashem face to face in Kisisa, Hashem said, Lo yirani o'odum v'chai, man cannot see me and live, and you'll only see my back. So although God says to Moshe, or he says about Moshe, to Miriam and Aaron in Baalotcha, Peh el peh adabebo, I speak to him face, mouth to mouth, but it's still, God can't be revealed to him face to face till he passed away, till he got the 50th level, which is...
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, with teshuva, you said if you do teshuva and you bring in the three colors of the rainbows, meaning rachamim, chesedin, and rachamim.
Right.
Hashem sends down to you from above chesedin and rachamim. That's what I thought you said. Is that true?
I think what the Maimon means is that when we do tshuva, we are somehow doing tshuva along these three lines.
Yeah, but when you said when we do along these three lines, Hashem sends you back the three things of chesedim v'racham. That's what I thought you said. I might be wrong.
Well, it's the way I'm trying to understand the Maimon, the discourse. I think that these three lines shine down, and then they get reflected back, and they get reflected back because of our avodah. So Hashem has these qualities of kindness and judgment and mercy, and then we repent, and then it's sort of reflected backwards.
When it comes to the Lord, when it comes to the reward, how is din a reward?
That's a very good question. I think that what that means in our tshuva, chesed means doing good. And din means avoiding bad, like sumera. Sumera, keep away from bad. Aseh tov, do good. So those are the two lines of chesed and gvura, and din. And the third line is rachamim, which is a higher level where we're connecting to God on a higher level.
Yeah, I could see the rachamim and chesed could be a reward.
Well, if we keep the negative commandments properly, then that itself is a reward. Tzipora, what I think is happening is that you've got two things open and they are hearing each other and they're reflecting it. Well, if you can mute one of them, it might be better. Oh, okay. Okay, does that answer your question?
Oh God.
Tzipora, does that answer your question? Okay, maybe she'll come back. Eve, are you okay with this?
I find it very awkward and confusing, not because of the good and the bad side, but because the imagery doesn't work and it seems very literal-minded. I mean, first of all, if anybody's doing tshuva with the rainbow, it's Hashem.
It might look like that.
Yeah, it certainly does. And the other thing is that...
But you see, one second, I mean, let me just talk about that for a second. You see, okay. The way the sages explain these words in the Torah is that if there comes to be a generation where people are being wicked and there is a threat of a flood, the rainbow shines in order to remind God not to bring the flood, but it means that the world is in a sorry state. So, for example... it is said about certain rabbis in the Talmud, like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, the author of the Zohar, that in his day the rainbow was never seen. Why not? Because his own merit saved the world from ever getting into such a bad state. So the rainbow expresses the problematic aspect of humanity. Okay, but now your second point.
Well, yeah, okay. So I mean, but you know, it's also very physical, and he's trying to talk spiritual. And I mean, usually there's something. You know, especially with Noah and the Teva, you'd expect him to do something with the words. I mean, with Anan, with, you know, Inyan, Lanot, not with just the physical fog. You know what I mean?
Well, listen, words have all kinds of sacred possibilities, but so does physical reality. Existence itself, you know, the sun shining or not shining, darkness, dark clouds covering the sky, and light showing through.
Yeah, I guess I understand why he wants to know who thought of this. Which rabbi thought of this? I mean, in retrospect, you do wonder. I mean, you know, then the other rabbi did better than that. I'm not being very respectful, but you know what I mean.
You see, here it's talking about the nature of light and of darkness. You know, if you think of, you know, Turner's paintings at sea, you know, with a storm at sea, and, you know, one part of the painting is dark, and then there's...
Yeah.
Another one, which is this bright light that you can see, this light shining through. You know, it's seeing a divine dimension of physical reality, which I think is very interesting. I think that's a very interesting step. You know, the idea of the words Anan and the numerical values and things like that. That's very important. Rabbi Lou, did you want to comment?
I was just cut off and I only just got on here, so what am I commenting about?
Eve is saying that it's a very sort of materialistic image, you know, these clouds, thick clouds, thin clouds. She would expect something in terms of the words Anan, Inyan, La'anot, you know, like different dimensions on that level of language, rather than this sort of play on the physical reality of whether it's a thick cloud which hides the sun or a thin cloud which reveals it and reveals a rainbow. So I'm saying that it's very interesting that physical reality is, in this case, responding to the spiritual depth within. Very often the physical reality seems to just run by itself, and in order to see any reflections of the spiritual, we need to turn to things like language and gematria and things like that. But here it's actually the physical reality responding to that. I can see visual images when I read this discourse. It's a very visual, it's like a painting.
But I mean, what happens when you go up into the cloud is what's interesting. And assuming you say it's physical, when you go up into the cloud, what does that mean? You know what I'm saying?
Well, as you know, what happens when we go up in a plane, we go beyond the clouds and there's only sunlight. And but I think that here, the attempt is to draw the radiance down into the world. And so the question is how the cloud is functioning there. Is it a partial filter enabling bright radiance to come down into the world? Or is it a total concealment hiding the radiance from the world? Okay, Rabbi Lou, now you're the right way round. Would you like to comment?
Pardon?
Would you like to comment?
I think what you're saying is very beautiful about really everything in the physical world is a reflection. And the rainbow in particular, in the Maimorim, in the Sichas of Lag BaOmer, where it's customary to take a bow, it's like to show how the rainbow represents the deepest parts of the Torah. He says, when you see a rainbow, expect Mashiach. And what you're saying is very beautiful, that it's not everything in the physical world reflects and in a sense is a product of spiritual world, especially at the bottom of a very, very long chain, and then it comes to express it here. And what you're saying is that here you can hardly escape the subtlety of the different levels of cloud and the rainbow and everything else. It's a very beautiful thing. The bow, as opposed in battle, a bow and arrow, that's what it says about Lag BaOmer. The day of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, in his day, it did not see the rainbow, because when it comes to a sword, a spear even, it can only be used for close hand-to-hand combat or close combat. And an arrow is for distant combat. And that means things which are spiritually distant, subtle, subtle faults, subtle imperfections that we have, areas for improvement, and it's the bow and arrow that's able to do it. And the way that it works is by pulling the bow towards yourself, going deeper into yourself. It's something which represents the deepest aspect of creation, and it's able to modify, to refine, to perfect, and to bring out the beauty even in those subtle areas where we sometimes think, I can never overcome this weakness or this imperfection.
Thank you.
I like that.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, let's go back to line 16.
It's a quick question.
Yes.
Can I just ask a quick question?
Sure. Go on.
So you said that through Tishu we nullify the three lines of Klipot. So that's the Chesed, Gevurah, and Rachamim of Klipot as well.
Yes. Yeah, there's the Le'umat Zeh. Yeah, there's the opposite realm. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Right, so now we're on page Chet, and we're looking at line 16. V'zeu ma shekatuv zot ot habrit. And this is what it says. This is the sign of the covenant. Et kashti natati be'anan, I put my bow, my rainbow, in the cloud. God says, "Dal yedei avodat ha'tshuva," but through the service of repentance, "Naaseh bechinat ha'anan lemal yuta," we get the positive aspect of the cloud. She'ananim mavim et kol habrachot. In fact, that the clouds bring blessings, all the blessings. For example, v'natati gishmechem be'itam, I will give your rain at the right time, God says, which comes about through the clouds, u'ba'ofen shel brit, and in a way of a covenant. The od kol yimei ha'aret zera v'katzir v'kol v'chom, as it says in the Sedra, all the time of the earth's existence, the different seasons, lo yishbot, the six periods of the year. This is a list. It's more detailed than spring, summer, autumn, winter. There are intermediary levels as well. So these are the six periods of the year. They will not cease. V'yeter mizu, and even more. Et kashti natati ba'anan, I put my rainbow in the cloud. Yesh loma b'derech efshar, because you might say, says the Rebbe, she'b'inyan ha'keshet sh'al yedei ha'anan, when talking of the rainbow that comes about through the cloud, yesh no inyan na'aleh yoter mikol ha'brachot, there is actually something very, very exalted, much higher than all the blessings, ha'nimshachot al yedei ha'anan, which come through the cloud. As is explained in a number of places, which comment on this verse, God putting his rainbow in the cloud. Kashti dava mukashli. Kashti means something compared to me. Mukash means compared. So that's a very significant concept. Shezel mailu mikol agiluyim. It's something higher than all revelations. It's Eila hu mukashli. It's beyond all the revelations. It's compared to me myself, la'atzmuto u'ma'uto yitbarach, to the very essence of God.
U'kmo shekatuv. Sorry, you went a bit funny. What's beyond all revelations? Sorry, you went a bit funny.
Right, what's beyond all revelations is the rainbow. The rainbow expresses something that's beyond all the normal revelations, because it's something so exaltedly high. And a piece of evidence for this is from the book of Ezekiel, where there's an amazing vision at the beginning in chapter 1 of Ezekiel. And it says there, Kamarea keshet, like the image of the rainbow, Asheyeh ba'anan, which would be on the cloud, hu mared mut kvod Hashem. That is the revelation of the glory of Hashem. So that that idea that the rainbow shows. Sorry, I just dropped something. That idea that the rainbow shows. This exalted quality of revelation of the divine is the way the rainbow is beyond all ordinary revelations. And so, v'chol zeh, all of this, ba'ofen shel brit, all of this is in a way of a covenant with God. Asher inyan ha'brit hu, what is a covenant? Shema'ached et ha'ovrim bein ha'ptarim liot ovrim betof guf echad mamash. The covenant unites two individuals, two parties are being united. And the Rebbe quotes the idea of the covenant between the halves, which is there, a covenant with Abraham, where these animals were slaughtered and then cut in half, and there was a flame moving in between the two halves and expressing the idea that the flame, the presence of God and Abraham are being united, like the two halves are part of one animal. Liot lachadim ke'echad mamash, so that they should be completely one. So the covenant is a bond with the divine. A covenant with the divine is a bond with the divine on an extraordinarily high level. Ubeze yuvan, and from this we understand, ma shekatuv b'Zohar, what it says in the Zohar, which is also quoted by the fourth Lubavitcher Rebbe, Reb Shmuel, Lord Sitzpid Alagri Mashiach Ad Yitchazi Hai Keshet Ba'alma Mitkashta Ba'gavnei Nehirin. Don't expect Mashiach till you see the rainbow with bright colors. Ki inyan akeshet more al avodat hatshuva kana, because as we said, the rainbow represents repentance, and repentance is the way to bring the Messiah. Ubochol gimel akavnin agvanin animazim begvanin kana, and those three colors, the three lines of relationship with God, kindness, severity, and great mercy, which are hinted at in the three primary colors, red, blue, and yellow. Then, when you see that brightly colored rainbow, you should expect Mashiach. Because the whole idea of Mashiach is the idea of repentance. Mashiach atala tava tzadikai betyuvta. Not only the repentance of the wicked, Mashiach comes to make the tzaddikim do repentance as well. Dal yedei shemegalim et nitzutz Mashiach shebechol tzaddik. And through the fact that the spark of Mashiach is revealed in each tzaddik, that's the inyan of tshuva, the idea of repentance. Al yedei zeh mitgalem Mashiach haklali. The general Mashiach, the true ultimate Mashiach, is revealed.
Sorry, can I just quickly ask a question? Where is that original quote from about don't expect Mashiach till you see the rainbow? Is that from the Zohar?
Let's just see exactly where it is from. Yes, it's from the Zohar. It's footnote 33, which is from Zohar, volume 172b. And it's also quoted several times in Hasidic teachings.
Oh, thank you.
V'hi ratzon, and may it be God's will, shal yedei ma'aseinu v'avodateinu bizman ha'galut b'chlal, that through our service in the time of exile in general, u'befchad al yedei limudi inyanim eilu b'torah, and especially through studying these such ideas in the Torah, yeh b'chinat zikaron l'mayla, there should be the remembering above, miklalut ha'brit de Noach, that God should remember this covenant with Noach, especially about the rainbow. Now this idea of the remembering of Noach, God remembering Noach, on Rosh Hashanah, in the Musaf prayer, we said three sets of 10 verses, one about the kingship of God, and one about God remembering us in a positive way. And there are verses, or a verse, about Noach in that group of 10 verses as well. Ki hi b'chinat zikaron nitzchi, because this represents eternal memory. Shu kashur im etzem neshamot Yisrael, which relates to the essence of the souls of the Jewish people. Kamavor b'ma'amerei, the Rebbe Rashab, the fifth Lubavitch Rebbe, as is mentioned in his discourses, the inyan zeh shehu bekeser. One second, let me just move down. This inyan, which is, which is hidden and concealed on Rosh Hashanah, v'nimshach achakach banan aktoret de Yom Kippurim, it's revealed later on in the cloud of incense on Yom Kippur. And which is called, and Yom Kippur is called Achat B'Shana, one day in the year. Ba'ad Shemimei Kolot, and from the 100 sounds of the shofar, Shelat Kiyot Rosh Hashanah, of blowing the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, Nimshach B'Shach the Sukkah, that comes into the Shach, the covering of the Sukkah, as known that Shach has the numerical value 100. Shach B'Gematria Meya, as he says, the Schach has the numerical value 100. Asher Sukkah Nikret Kain, and the Sukkah is called that because of the Schach. Al Shem Schacha, because of this covering. Va'al Yedei Zeh Zochim B'Karov Mamash, and through this we will merit very quickly, Leishe B'Sukkat Oroshe Leviathan. We will dwell in a Sukkah which is from the skin of Leviathan, Sukkat Shalom, a Sukkah of peace, Beviat Mashiach Tzidkenu, with the coming of our righteous Mashiach. So that image of the sukkah made of the skin of Leviathan is a positive image. Leviathan here meaning something positive, not negative as in Hobbes, but something negative. And that Leviathan is something to do with the future world and the idea of the sukkah, which is made in the skin of the Leviathan. It signifies the positive aspect of the future age. V'hinei nitba la'el. Now, as explained above, shakasher gavnei hakeshet hem behirim, when the colors of the rainbow are brightly shining, tzarich litzpot l'raglav shel Mashiach, we have to expect the feet of the Messiah. Ubefchad be'ikvot to the Mashiach, and especially at the period we're at now, which is a period called the heels of Mashiach. Matu raglim beraglin, the feet meet the feet. In other words, we're in a period of the time of Mashiach, of the feet of Mashiach, and then when we have the idea of the bright colors of the rainbow, that's also the feet of the Mashiach. Dinyan haraglin, because the feet kashur gam in inyan gimel regalim. The feet, speaking about feet in this way, relates to the three foot festivals, Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot. Because then the Jewish people go to Jerusalem to celebrate the festival. Lebeit HaMikdash, in the temple. Lo'la'atid lavon, in the future, yeah, in Yanzeh, v'chol Shabbat v'Rosh Chodesh. Not only will we go on the three foot festivals, every Shabbat and every Rosh Chodesh we will go to the temple. U'kadit b'yalkut, as it says in the Midrash, and as this has been explained by the Rebbe Rashab, Sha'az, the fifth Rebbe, the Sha'az Yavo b'chol Shabbat b'chol Chodesh, that then all the souls, everyone will come every Shabbat and every Rosh Chodesh. V'zeya, how will we get there? That will be al yedei ha'ananim dikdusha, through sacred clouds. We'll travel on clouds. U'kmoshe katuv mi edek ka'av to ufena. Who is this coming, flying on a cloud? V'chayonim el arubotayim, like doves going to their dovecote. V'ad shiyah v'aru imana neshmaya. Behold, here are the clouds of heaven, and we're traveling on those clouds of heaven. Hine az tzrichim l'tzapot. Then we should expect l'raglei Mashiach, the feet of Mashiach. That's Asher b'karov mamash, very quickly. Yiyah, it'll be what it says in the verse, Ve'atem teluktu la'achad echad beit Yisrael. You, the Jewish people, will be picked out one by one. Dochol echad ve'echad mi'Yisrael, every single Jew, b'fnei atzmo, individually, yavo imana neshamaya, will come with clouds of heaven, la'alot le'beit ha'mikdash, to go up to the temple, Hashem Shabali Rot, and just as he's coming to see the beautiful spiritual atmosphere there, Kach Leraot, he comes to be seen by God, Begilui, in a revealed way, Begula Hamitit Vashlema, in the true and ultimate redemption. V'toameh Chaim Zachu, and those who taste this, they taste life. Now this verse is said about on the eve of Shabbat, Friday afternoon, people tasting some of the Shabbat food. There's a kind of custom, not actually in Chabad, but there is a custom of tasting the Shabbat food. And in the same way, there's the idea of now tasting the time of Mashiach. Sha'od ba'erev Shabbat, that even now, on the eve of Shabbat, in other words, the eve of the time of Mashiach, tzarich litom mikol tavshil, we should eat, taste a little bit from every kind of dish, shiyeh la'atid, that will be in the future. V'lachein, and therefore, gam lifnei zeh, also before that, tzarich liyot, there has to be, v'hayu melachim omenayich, kings will be looking after you, ad shenizkeh b'karov, till we achieve quickly l'geula amitit v'ashlema, the true and full redemption, v'aruim ana neshmaya, coming with clouds of heaven, al yedei Mashiach tzidkenu, through our righteous Mashiach.